This is Ann Weller with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And for the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information with you. This information is selected from the Nutrition Action Health Letter, a publication of the Center for Science in the Public Interest, based in Washington, D.C. The Center for Science in the Public Interest was founded in 1971 by three scientists who wanted to apply their academic training to the solving of social problems. It is a consumer advocacy organization which conducts innovative research and programs in health and nutrition and which provides consumers with current information about their health and well-being. An independent, nonprofit consumer health group, the Center for Science in the Public Interest advocates honest food labeling and advertising, safer and more nutritious foods, and pro-health alcohol policies. The Center's work is supported by Nutrition Action Health Letter subscribers and by foundation grants. It accepts no government or industry funding. And Nutrition Action Health Letter, which was first published in 1974, accepts no advertising. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Today's broadcast focuses on a Nutrition Action Health Letter special feature entitled Soy What? The jury is still out on soy's benefits. The report, authored by David Chart, senior nutritionist with Nutrition Action Health Letter, is published in the November 2009 issue of the newsletter. Scientists have long suspected that the soy foods in Asian diets may help explain why people in places like Japan, China, and Singapore have lower rates of breast cancer, prostate cancer, osteoporosis, and heart disease. In thousands of studies over the past two decades, most of them carried out in the West, have tried to figure out whether soybeans are beneficial, and if so, which parts of the soybean are responsible for the beneficial effects. But reviews of these studies have found the effects of soy to be weak and not very consistent, says Stephen Barnes, a soy expert at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Why the disconnect? Well, maybe it's because people in Asia eat different soy foods than people in North America. Or perhaps genetics or other differences in lifestyle matter more. And there's always the possibility that eating soy just does not help. So here's the latest on what scientists are discovering about soy and health. There's no question that the recent studies examining the effects of soy on bones have been very disappointing, says D. Lee Alical. But it is what it is. That's why we do clinical trials. Dr. Alical researches osteoporosis and bone health at Iowa State University. The epidemiological research in Asia suggests that consuming soy foods protects the bones, but we do not know if that's true only if you grow up in a culture where one consumes these foods regularly all through life, notes Dr. Alical. When you look at the shorter-term intervention trials in Western countries, the results are very inconsistent. In Dr. Alical's 2000 study of 69 women at or around the age of menopause, for example, those who ate soy protein rich in isoflavones for 6 months had less bone loss in the lower spine than those who ate isoflavone-poor soy protein. Now, isoflavones are weak estrogen-like compounds that exist in soy. We suspected that the isoflavones, rather than the protein itself, protected bone in the lumbar spine, explains Alakel. So she and her research group launched a larger and longer trial testing just isoflavones extracted from soy protein. And we gave 224 postmenopausal women 80 or 120 milligrams of a soy isoflavone extract called NovaSoy, or a placebo, every day for 3 years, she says. The isoflavones had no appreciable effect on bone mineral density in the women. NovaSoy, which is manufactured by Archer Daniels Midland, contains the two main isoflavones, genistein and datazine. A similar study at the University of Miami School of Medicine tested more isoflavones at a dosage of 200 milligrams a day against a placebo in more people, that is 248, for less time than 2 years, and it also came up empty. These are the two best studies that have been conducted on the effect of isoflavones on bone mineral density in women, says Dr. Alakel. So it is disappointing. Neither study has been published yet. But what if it's the soy protein and not extracted isoflavones that matters? A third study, published in July, put a damper on that theory, too. Researchers at the University of Connecticut Health Center in Farmington assigned roughly 100 women aged 60 and older to take one of four protein supplements every day. After 1 year, there was no difference in bone mineral density among the four groups. So, for the present, the bottom line is that soy is a good food, says Dr. Alakel, but we cannot say right now that it has a positive effect on bones. As for isoflavone pills that claim to build bones, they're far more hype than help, she says. Now, if you're a rat or mice or mouse who might get prostate cancer, it is a good idea to eat soy, says Stephen Clinton, director of the Prostate and Genitourinary Clinic at the Ohio State University Comprehensive Cancer Center. In 1999, Clinton and his colleagues showed that prostate tumors grew more slowly in mice when soy protein and isoflavones were added to their diets. But so far, results in humans are less encouraging. In a study of 59 men with early-stage prostate cancer, for example, prostate-specific antigen levels dropped or stayed the same in 69% of those who consumed 60 milligrams of soy isoflavones every day for 3 months, compared with 55% of those who received a placebo. So that was a statistical tie. Rising PSA, or prostate-specific antigen, may signal the growth of prostate tumors. Well, what about men who start out cancer-free? Five studies have asked men how often they eat soy foods and then waited to see who later was diagnosed with prostate cancer and who was not. In two of the five, one conducted in Japan and one in the United States, soy eaters had a lower risk of prostate cancer. In the other three studies, they did not. It is not clear why the results are inconsistent. So again, the bottom line is, the idea that soy can stop prostate cancer is a wonderful hypothesis that has not yet been adequately tested in men, says researcher Stephen Clinton. The idea that eating soy foods may reduce the risk of breast cancer has been around for years, says researcher Regina Ziegler of the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda, Maryland. It was originally inspired by the fact that breast cancer rates are low in Asia and high in Western countries, and was later supported by test tube and animal research. In some studies of Asian women, those who consume traditional soy foods every day as adults have a lower risk of breast cancer. For example, Anna Wu of the University of Southern California in Los Angeles and colleagues asked roughly 35,000 middle-aged and older Chinese women in Singapore how often they ate soy foods. And over the next 7 to 12 years, those who ate the equivalent of one or more servings of tofu a day were 18% less likely to be diagnosed with postmenopausal, not premenopausal, breast cancer than those who ate less than one serving a day. But the evidence is mixed. For example, one study in Asia found a link in premenopausal women. Another found a link only with isoflavones and miso soup, but not any other soy foods. And two Asian studies found no link with anything. The evidence is weaker in studies of women in the West. Among California teachers and European women, soy eaters or isoflavone takers had no lower breast cancer risk. That may be because women in the West eat few traditional soy foods, says Dr. Wu. Or soy may not matter, East or West. Eating soy may be closely tied with other lifestyle factors, such as increased physical activity or reduced body weight, that we may not be able to adequately take into account, but that affect the chances of being diagnosed with breast cancer, Dr. Ziegler points out. It is also possible that soy's protective effect is triggered early in life when the breast tissue is growing. That seemed to be the case in four retrospective studies of early soy intake. Asian women living in the United States, Canada, and China who had breast cancer recalled eating, or their mothers recalled feeding them, fewer soy foods during their childhood or adolescence than similar women without breast cancer. But retrospective studies can be less reliable than prospective studies because of what scientists call recall bias. People who have been diagnosed with a disease may subconsciously remember their past differently. For example, they may think, if I have breast cancer, maybe it's because I did not eat enough soy when I was young. So they may remember eating less soy than women who do not have breast cancer. What about women who already have breast cancer? We don't know if there's any benefit from eating soy foods, says Dr. Wu. But there also does not appear to be any risk. Two studies from the 1990s had raised red flags. Women who were given soy protein with isoflavones had signs of increased cell proliferation in their breast tissue or in their breast fluid. And any time cells multiply, there's a greater risk of cancer. More recent studies using larger doses of soy for longer periods of time have not confirmed these earlier findings, says Dr. Wu. Most scientists looking at these studies would conclude that soy foods are probably safe for women with breast cancer. And the bottom line? It's unclear if soy foods reduce breast cancer risk. Does eating tofu rot your brain? In a prospective study published in 2000, men in Hawaii who reported eating the most tofu during middle age were the most likely to suffer cognitive impairment and brain atrophy later in life. And last year, when British researchers interviewed some 700 elderly men and women in Singapore, the more tofu the seniors reported eating, the worse their memories were. But the more tempeh, fermented soybeans, and fruit that they ate, the better their memories were. Most scientists have dismissed these associations as spurious, says University of Wisconsin researcher Carrie Gleason. Instead, she notes, a tofu-rich diet may simply signal habits that affect the brain. For example, it could indicate the degree of acculturation, says Dr. Gleason. If so, those who followed a more traditional Japanese-Hawaiian diet with tofu may have been less likely to use Western medicine. Or maybe they had less education, or were less engaged in society, which are risk factors for dementia. Researchers have tested soy isoflavones on memory and other mental abilities in short-term studies. And so far, results on women under the age of 65 have been inconsistent. Research has not focused on men. In some studies on women, isoflavones boost memory, and in others, isoflavones do not boost memory. As for planning and mental flexibility, the jury is still out, says Pauline Mackey of the Center for Cognitive Medicine at the University of Illinois at Chicago. In contrast, studies testing isoflavones on women over the age of 65 have consistently come up empty. Estrogen receptors may not respond as well in older women, says Dr. Mackey. In fact, in the Women's Health Initiative memory study, women aged 65 and older who took estrogen or estrogen plus progestin were twice as likely to be diagnosed with dementia, including Alzheimer's disease, as similar women who took no hormones. Soy isoflavones are weak estrogen-like compounds. So the bottom line is that women over 65 should consume no more than 2 servings of soy foods a day, and they should not start taking soy isoflavone supplements, says researcher Pauline Mackey. In good studies, soy reduces the frequency of hot flashes 20 to 30% more than a placebo does, says Mindy Kurtzer, director of the Healthy Foods, Healthy Lives Institute at the University of Minnesota. Estrogen pills cut hot flashes by 90%. But a lot of women do not want to take estrogen, says Kurtzer. And since they don't have any other alternatives, soy is an option to give them some relief. Kurtzer is working with soy expert Mark Messina of Loma Linda University in California on a new meta-analysis of the research. A meta-analysis combines the data from similar studies and can sometimes detect effects that the individual studies cannot. In the first meta-analysis, published 3 years ago, studies that used at least 15 milligrams a day of the isoflavone genistein seemed to be successful against hot flashes, while those studies that used less than 15 milligrams did not seem to be. The second meta-analysis, several new studies have been published since the first, is consistent with that, says Messina. It looks like 8 of the 9 studies using high amounts of genistein were effective against hot flashes, while only 4 of the 8 using small amounts were. But he cautions that some studies in the meta-analysis were poorly done. In some, we could not figure out how the researchers measured hot flashes, how many subjects dropped out, or what the statistical analysis was based on. Most of the successful studies used at least 50 milligrams of isoflavones that contained at least 15 milligrams of genistein, notes Dr. Messina, adding that any benefits were apparent within 6 weeks. Now, Dr. Messina consults for Archer Daniels Midland, which makes the NovaSoy brand of isoflavone supplement. So the bottom line with hot flashes is, well, I don't see any downside to trying isoflavones for 5 or 6 weeks, says researcher Mark Messina. Just keep in mind that hot flashes often improve even when women take a placebo. 10 years ago, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration allowed food labels to make a health claim that 25 grams a day of soy protein may reduce the risk of heart disease. You can see that claim today on some soy burgers and other soy foods. But since 1999, it has become clear that soy protein has just a very small impact on LDL, low-density lipoprotein, or bad cholesterol. In 2006, the American Heart Association declared that while soy foods may confer benefits to cardiovascular health by replacing animal foods, the direct cardiovascular health benefit of soy protein or of isoflavone supplements is minimal at best. And in late 2007, the FDA announced that it would reevaluate 4 previously approved health claims, including the one for soy and heart disease, but it has yet to publish any conclusions. The current estimate is that eating soy protein lowers LDL cholesterol by 3%, says Loma Linda University's Mark Messina. Earlier studies estimated a 6 to 13% drop. And that's if you eat 25 grams of soy protein every day. 25 grams is a lot, admits Messina. But with the wide availability of soy foods, you can easily do it. But other researchers are not convinced. In the United States, few people eat 25 grams of soy protein every day, says Alice Lichtenstein of Tufts University in Boston, who served on the Heart Association committee that reviewed the soy research. The heart disease claim that the FDA approved has led to some unanticipated consequences, says Dr. Lichtenstein. For example, adding the minimum amount of soy protein to snack foods or energy bars allows them to make a heart disease claim, even though the foods may pack a few hundred calories per serving. And someone would have to eat 4 servings to reach 25 grams of soy protein. Nonetheless, notes Dr. Lichtenstein, eating soy burgers or soy milk instead of foods with animal fats, like hamburgers or full-fat milk, is a great strategy to cut saturated fat intake. It could also help people lower their blood cholesterol. And if they eat foods made with whole soybeans, it could increase their fiber intake. So the bottom line, eating large amounts of soy protein, as much as 25 grams a day, can lower LDL or bad cholesterol by a modest 3%. Soy is a good food, says Iowa State's D. Lee Alakel. It is relatively low in saturated fat, is a complete protein, contains minerals, and can be a good source of fiber. It also contains phytochemicals, even if we don't know exactly what they do. At least that is true of the edamame, which is parboiled green soybeans, tofu, and miso, which is fermented soybeans that people in Asia eat. But what people in North America think of as soy is completely different, notes University of Alabama at Birmingham soy expert Stephen Barnes. In the West, soy foods often are made not from whole soybeans, but from soy protein or other isolated parts of the bean. What's more, many soy bars and drinks available in the West contain lots of sugar and not a lot of soy relative to traditional Asian foods, says Pamela Horn Ross of the Northern California Cancer Center in Fremont. So beware, look before you bite. Finally, the results of a study published in the journal Obesity in 2008 indicate that overweight people behave differently than leaner people at an all-you-can-eat buffet. 22 trained observers watched 213 patrons at 11 all-you-can-eat Chinese food buffets in several cities. Diners who were overweight or obese were more likely than normal weight diners to serve themselves immediately rather than browse the buffet. They were more likely to choose a large plate, to sit facing the buffet, to use a fork rather than chopsticks, and to sit without a napkin on their laps. So, if you're an all-you-can-eat buffet and are watching your weight, watch your eating behavior. Use a small plate so that you will take smaller portions. If you're eating Chinese, use chopsticks to slow you down. Don't face the buffet so the food is not uppermost in your mind. And take your time before rushing to serve yourself. And the napkin? That's up to you. We've reached the conclusion of this month's segment of Nutrition News. Be sure to listen at the same time next month. I hope that you have found it enjoyable and informative. I'm Ann Weller, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. This program, which is intended for a print and visually impaired audience, is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next month.